organization. We call the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today? Why? And what's next? Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
You nasty boys. Nasty boys. I don't ever change.
8 minutes after the hour of 5, yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, taking you home on the drive home at 5. And the focus is on Harvey, the never-shlubby kid from Flushing, Queens, who became the big Hollywood mogul and perv number one. First off, we have yet to hear from his business partner, Jay-Z, or his wife, Beyoncé. They have not tweeted out that he is a pig, a hazari, and a disgrazia. But we have heard from Cyrus White Shoes Vance, the Manhattan District Attorney, who had all the goods to lock him up years ago, but decided to give him a pass because his attorney, David Boies, Weinstein's attorney, had made a political contribution to the reelection of Cyrus White Shoes Vance, who never faces any competition in reelection. Anyway, let's listen to what Cyrus White Shoes Vance said as to why he decided not to prosecute Harvey.
Obviously, he has some serious issues, and the tape is terrible. But I, as DA, have to be guided by the evidence and the elements of the crime and my experts in the office. And if I stop being guided by any of those things and start being guided by outside influences, whether it's money or whether it's public opinion, then I'm not doing my job. So I'll take criticism for my decisions, but my decisions were based on the law and the investigation guided by my expert.
What a Shonda. As Harvey Weinstein boarded a private Learjet earlier today, jetted off to Europe to get sex therapy as a sex addict. And I'm thinking he took the route of Roman Polanski. We may never see him again. And actually, Cyrus White Shoes Vance never asked that he turn in his passport. But on the line to discuss the mindset of Harvey Weinstein is Keith Ablow. You know him as America's psychiatrist. He's an author and TV personality. You also can check out his new website, freedomeverywhere.com, which gives you news and commentary on a regular basis. Thanks for joining us again here on the Drive Home at 5, Keith.
Hey, buddy. How are you? Glad to join.
I've had better days, but it's perv Weinstein, like in every 24-hour news cycle, as ladies of all backgrounds come forward and say, he perved on me. And in the most recent publication in New Yorker magazine, three women actually said, he didn't just molest me. He didn't just touch me unwantingly. He physically raped me. Where do you think the mindset is of this guy who was best known to come out of a shower stall with a bathrobe on and with his erector set protruding as he would approach these women?
Well, look, you know, for one thing, you get a lack of empathy. Now, sure, addiction can short-circuit empathy because you quote-unquote need the drug so much that it's like, look, I'll do anything. But, you know, the other thing that's remarkable here is here's a guy who's in a business where you would think that he has enough in the way of charm, opportunity, and otherwise to be chosen by women, but he can't rely on that. For some reason, he has to be predatory, apparently. And it's so much a testimony to his lack of empathy for others. He's like, well, it's just easier to come out in my bathrobe or to say, watch me shower or any other number of things, rather than to say, look, you know, I'm a very wealthy guy in the movie industry. I can put forward my, you know, incredible glib personality or whatever he had, and he's not willing to rely on that. So there's something internal to this guy that suggests I'm really a lowlife, a little guy, someone who could never really be chosen. I've got to take. That's the addict's mentality. That's his mentality.
Now, Keith Ablow, do you think something happened in his childhood where he was either rejected or maybe premature ejaculation or something along the way that caused this desire to keep pulling out his three-piece set and showing it to women?
man, there's always something. Every story makes sense. Because here's another mystery in the world, right? The why is everything, Curtis. Why? Think about it. Why would a guy with the access to women, if that's what you want, and you have the access, but for some reason it's got to be stealing, forcing, etc., there's something wrong psychologically. He's right to go get therapy, because it's, but not just for addiction. It's got to go deeper than that. It's got to be, what's wrong with me? What is elementally wrong with me in my character and my personality? Where did it start? There's an answer to that.
Well, he could have been stopped in his tracks. This young, aspiring Italian starlet had been groped by him, and she went right to the police department here in New York a few years ago. The sex crimes unit wired her up like a Christmas tree, and they told her, go back and record the conversation. I want you to listen intently, Keith Ablo.
Okay.
And tell me what you think when you hear Harvey Weinstein pleading with her to, no, just come in.
I'm telling you right now.
What do we have to do here?
Nothing. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. Water.
I don't drink. Can I stay on the bar?
No, you must come here now.
No.
Please.
No, I don't want to.
I'm not doing anything with you. I know. You're embarrassing me.
I'm sorry. I cannot. No, yesterday was a kind of aggressive for me. I need to know a person's
I
be
won't
touched.
Do a thing.
I don't want
thing, please. I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time. Just
I
sit
know,
with me.
But
I promise.
Don't want to.
Please sit there. Please. Mm. 1 minute.
No,
I ask
I can't.
You. Go to the bathroom.
Please, I don't want to do something I don't want
go
to.
Go to the bathroom. Come here. Listen to me.
I want to go downstairs.
I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this. Okay? That's it. If you don't, if you embarrass me in this hotel,
I'm not embarrassing you.
First
it's just that I don't feel comfortable.
I mean, don't have a fight with me in the hall. Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear, my children, please come in. On everything, I'm a famous guy.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable right now.
Please come in now, and 1 minute. And if you want to leave, when the guy comes with my jacket,
why yesterday you touched my breast?
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
But you're used to that?
Yes, come in.
No, but I'm not used to that.
I won't do it again. Come on. Sit here for a minute, please.
No, I don't want to.
If you do this now, you will embarrass me.
I know. Bye.
They will call me again. Okay? Sorry. I promise you I won't do anything.
I know, but yesterday was too much.
The guy's coming. I will never do another thing to you. 5 minutes. Don't ruin your friendship with me for 5 minutes.
I know, but it's kind of like, it's too much for me. I can't.
Please, you're making a big scene here.
No,
please.
But I want to leave.
Okay, goodbye. Thank you.
Keith, what do you make of that? His constant pleading of her to come in the room. Don't worry about it. It'll just be a minute.
Well, predatory, incredibly predatory. It would take, you know, it really would take a detective to tell me whether he committed a crime there. I'm not sure, but one thing I can tell you as a psychiatrist is that you'd really want to talk to Harvey Weinstein and say, dude, like, that kind of infantilizing of someone, that not taking no for an answer, that just 5 minutes thing, you know, where does that come from? I'd like to know, were you on the other side of that at some point? Like, where did this sexual addiction stem from? Because it basically is like being an incredible predator, where you'd be like, look, if that were your daughter, you know, you'd be getting a baseball bat, obviously. But something shattered, completely shattered his ability to be empathetic toward others who stimulate him sexually. Hence, one would ask as a psychiatrist, wow, were you ever on the other side of this man? It's important, right, from a healing perspective, from a why perspective. You can hate the guy, but then if he were in my office, I don't get the chance to hate him. I'm not allowed to. I can hate him, but I got to shelve that, and I've got to dig. And I'd be saying, man, I listened to that tape, and it's like, if you're not replaying something there, I'm kind of shocked.
Would or could a Harvey Weinstein ever be cured and be safe and secure in the company of women again?
Yeah, sure. I mean, look, he's not Jeffrey Dahmer. Can he be cured and be safe in the company of women again? Yeah, because, you know, psychiatry is an incredible healing technique. It's an incredible road, path to becoming more human and understanding yourself and other people more. Would I think that it's going to be easy? No. Is it possible? Yes, it's possible. It is possible.
Mm. I don't know. He's flown the coop. He's off in Europe. I'm thinking he's taking the route of Roman Polanski. He's not coming back because there are now three women who have claimed that Harvey Weinstein actually physically penetrated them and raped them. And what a shame that would be, that this Hazari, this pig of a Manhattan district attorney, Cyrus White Shoes Vance, who let him off the hook years ago, didn't even have the courage to go up to his apartment and tell him, I want your passport. You're not going to be leaving this country. It's the best thing that could have happened for Cyrus White Shoes Vance, right? That he would leave the country and hopefully this story would go away. I guarantee you, I will not let this story go away.
Curtis Lewa.
Really trying to help our cause.
The Drive at 5.
We're very honored to have him here today.
77 WABC.
Y-A-N-K-E-E-S. We're going to crush the Cleveland Indians tonight in that mistake by the lake in Cleveland. As we continue here in the Drive Home at 5. But on this Curtis Lewa Super Sports Spectacular, we're inviting on my very dear Kumbadichichi. You hear him in the mornings with Imus from 6 to 9 doing his sports and his commentary. And then naturally on his own show with Bernard McGurk that you can listen to from 9 to 12, in which they cover a panoply of different subjects. But let's face it, when you think of Sid Rosenberg, you think first and foremost sports. Thanks for jumping on board again at the Drive Home at 5, Sid.
I love coming on this show. I love you, and it's a very, very exciting night, Curtis. For lifelong Yankee fans like yourself, visions of Chris Chambliss hitting a home run in a Game 5 against the Kansas City Royals over 40 years ago. This is a big night for you. Big night.
Wow. You revived that memory. Oh, you're such
Curtis,
a mensch.
And do you believe, to revise that memory, Curtis, what I just said, I rewind it for you, 41 years ago. Does that feel like 41 years to hit that home run against Kansas City?
And the old stadium was rocking, the upper deck. It was almost like an accordion going up and down.
Yes. And what's amazing about that is, you know, the Yankees had so many big home runs. As Curtis, I'm not going to tell you. You know more about the Yankees than I do. After that, you know, 2 years later in 78, Bucky Dent, the home run against the Red Sox. And, you know, even Aaron Boone hitting the home run much later. But I got to tell you, for me, besides the home runs hit by Yogi and Mickey in those big World Series, that Chambliss home run to me 41 years ago was kind of the beginning of all those great Yankee teams in the 70s, 80s, and then, of course, in the 90s. So maybe we'll get one of those tonight from Aaron Judge or Gary Sanchez.
All right, but meantime, it's C.C. Sabathia who takes to the mound. I hope he had his Captain Crunch this morning, this afternoon, his pregame meal, because he loves Captain Crunch. What can we expect tonight? What are you predicting?
Listen, he's been so good. I mean, right along, Curtis. You know, 2 years ago, this guy was done. He had knee problems. He was hitting the bottle too hard, something I can certainly identify with. He had to leave the Yankees, you may remember, during a one-game playoff and go to rehab. And a lot of people thought C.C. Sabathia was done, but they couldn't get rid of him because they owed him a ton of money, right? So they had to bring him back. And really, since then, he's become a very solid pitcher once again. This year, C.C. Sabathia was terrific. Do you know that after a Yankee loss, which doesn't apply tonight because they won Game 4, but after a Yankee loss this year, Sabathia was 9-0. So this guy was kind of that Andy Pettit. He kept, you know, putting the Band-Aid on the blood. So for me, I think you get a very solid performance. I don't expect Cleveland to score a lot of runs, but my problem for the Yankees is it's not Sabathia, it's the other guy, Kluber. This guy could easily win the Cy Young Award this year. He's had an amazing couple of seasons, great year this year, and to expect Kluber to have two bad starts in a row like he did in Game 2, I think that may be asking too much. So the question is, who's better tonight? Because I think both guys are going to pitch well.
Well, the Yankees will club Kluber, that's for sure. Now, let me flip the script on you. NFL action, and the commissioner has weighed in and has said, hey, rules are rules, no more taking a knee during the national anthem. Do you anticipate, knowing that they would be suspended, that some of these well-paid ball players are going to defy the commissioner and their owners?
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up. I just literally, Curtis, about 30 minutes ago, I got off taping a podcast with Bill O'Reilly You guys can check that out tonight at philoreilly.com, and we talk for 25 minutes about exactly what you just asked me, which is the NFL and the anthem and all that stuff. Look, Eric Reed, very good safety for the San Francisco 49ers, as you know, Curtis. Five-year veteran, all-star, all that stuff. He was on The View a couple days ago talking about the issue. He was the guy that actually started with Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco a couple of years ago, and he said, make no mistake about it, if I played for Jerry Jones in Dallas, if anybody said to me, including the commissioner, that I could not kneel, I am still going to kneel. Basically, no one's going to tell me what to do. That's how defiant these guys are, Curtis. So even putting millions of dollars at stake and not following the rules, I do believe these guys, some of them, maybe less in number, but some of them will still do what they think is right, and most of us think is disgusting.
But a lot of them will punk out if they have to give up a game's pay.
Well, again, Eric Reed said, I'm doing it no matter what. If Jerry Jones is my owner and said to me he would bench me, he said, I'm still going to kneel. So, you know, some of them, look, here's the point. They've already made a ton of money, some of these guys. Some haven't yet, you're right. But if they really want to make it seem like or drive home the cause, they can't do it. They got to continue to kneel. You know, we heard for months that Colin Kaepernick said before the start of the season, when free agency was drying up, that he was no longer going to kneel. Well, guess what? His girlfriend came out a couple of days ago and said, that was not the truth. That was never going to happen. My boyfriend was going to kneel no matter what. So you would think they would punk out to get their game check, but if they really, really want to drive the point home and make it look like something bigger than one big, you know, mob mentality hoax, they got to take a knee.
And then I want you to join me. I am so filled with knockers. I want to dance. I want to dance the tarantella with you and the horror, because the United States soccer team will not qualify for World Cup this year. Knocked out by TNT, Trinidad and Tobago. I feel so good that propaganda, that fake, phony, fraudulent football they spell with a U. Go, go, go. We don't have to deal with that crap.
No, listen, I hate this sport. I do. I know it's the world's most popular sport. My son played it here in the United States, but I never understood it myself. You know, I know it's 31 years since we didn't qualify for the World Cup, and this is a really embarrassing loss. As you know, Curtis, losing to Trinidad and Tobago, and Bruce Arena has no answers, but I've never enjoyed this sport. I don't get the worldwide
Good.
Popularity,
Good.
And I'm happy we lost.
So join me. Join me in applauding. That's
I'm with
right.
You. I'm with you.
That's right.
I am with you, Curtis.
I hate soccer with a passion, although you got to catch Sid Rosenberg in the morning, 6 to 9 with Imus, and then actually on his own show with Bernard McGurk from 9 to 12. And you better believe that the two Met fans, Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg, are going to have to be dancing the horror and the tarantella tomorrow, or the Irish jig for Bernard, because I got this feeling, the Captain Crunch, that's right, C.C. Sabathia is going to come through.
Imus in the morning.
So far, so good.
And the drive at 5.
There are so many ways to do it.
On air, online, on the app.
That's unbelievable.
77 WABC.
See, we're playing Farmer Springsteen, writing off his property as a farm. Oh, what a sanctimonious hypocrite. How dare you, Brian Mangalucci? You know how I hate Springsteen. Farmer Springsteen. But anyway, the reason we're playing it right now on the drive home at 5 is there was a debate last night involving the two main candidates running for the governorship of New Jersey. Guadagno, the lieutenant governor, the clone of Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie, and the clone of John Corzine. That's right, Daddy Warbucks himself, although he comes in the form as a Democrat, the former Ambassador Murphy. One of the questions by the moderator was asking Murphy if he had ever taken money from, that's right, Harvey Weinstein.
Have you partnered with Mr. Weinstein to raise money for the Democratic candidates, including yourself? And if so, what do you plan on doing with that money?
I didn't ask for, and I didn't get one dime from this guy. What he's done is completely outrageous and heinous.
And then Kim Guadagno weighed in.
I want to call Phil Murphy a coward. Phil Murphy didn't start to talk about Harvey Weinstein until after my campaign today listed the tens of thousands of dollars that he raised as a part of his position as a finance chair for the DNC.
On the line to discuss the gubernatorial debate last night in Jersey is Steve Adubato, Emmy Award-winning broadcaster on the PBS flagship WNET and NJTV, author of the new book, Lessons in Leadership. Steve, not a lot of people were focused on the gubernatorial debate in Jersey. They were focused on the three-ring circus involving de Blasio, Nicole Malliotakis, and Bo Dietl here in New York City, weren't they?
Yeah, and the ratings are going to show that, Curtis. It's unfortunate that a lot of people didn't get to see last night, but I need to say that tonight on the PBS station here in New Jersey, NJTV, we host a one-hour special at 8 p.m., in which I do in-depth interviews on the issues that really matter in this state: property taxes, income taxes, school funding, roads and bridges falling apart, New Jersey transit crisis, if you will, with the two candidates, Kim Guadagno, the lieutenant governor, and Ambassador Phil Murphy. So listen, I understand the Harvey Weinstein question being asked. I think Phil Murphy answered it straight up. But that is going to be something that Kim Guadagno, who's running behind in this race, is going to try to latch onto, because she frankly wants to change the conversation as best she can.
Well, Steve, this is a problem I have as a New Yorker looking across the Hudson. When I see Murphy speak, I see Daddy Warbucks John Corzine. When I see Guadagno, I see Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie. Voters, don't they see what I'm seeing when both of them are speaking?
Curtis, respectfully, you see what others, I'm not saying this to kiss your butt, you see what others may not see because you know too much. And by the way, respectfully, I understand the analogy you're making, the comparison you're making, but Kim Guadagno is her own person in terms of what she believes. Yes, she has to live and deal with the Christie record, the good, the bad, what people think. And by the way, Ambassador Murphy is not John Corzine, but the ghost of Goldman Sachs lives on, and he has to deal with that as well. But I do feel, ultimately, they have their own views on things. He's much more engaging, by the way, than John Corzine was, much more personable. And Kim Guadagno's got a tough situation in that regard. But I have to say, she has said where she disagrees with the governor. How can you really do that when you are the lieutenant governor, Curtis? You've got to be as loyal as she could. But, you know, it's a tough spot for her. Now people find out 8 o'clock tonight on NJTV.
Well, you know, you never had that problem before. This is a newly created position in the state of New Jersey, so she's the first one who's had to saddle on the responsibility of basically being a sycophantodian lackey of the governor.
Well, look, you think Mike Pence is not sitting there half the time, if not more, going, are you kidding me? I got to deal with the president saying these things, tweeting these things, causing all kinds of issues. Mike Pence, no matter what he thinks, Curtis, and you know politics better than anyone, he can't say a damn thing about that because he's got to be, quote, loyal to the president. Now, I don't know if he can go in a room and tell him, you know, Mr. President, here's what I think and I disagree with it. I have no idea. But publicly, he's got to go down the line with him, or you can't be the vice president. The same thing is true for the lieutenant governor.
What does Guadagno have to do to make up the differential in the polls, which is sizable? It almost seems like it's a slam dunk for Murphy to become the next governor.
Well, first of all, nothing is a slam dunk in politics. I will say I do believe he has a substantial lead. I believe that in many ways this is a blue state. Let's not kid ourselves. The Democratic registration in this state outnumbers the Republican registration in a massive way by hundreds of thousands of voters. I think what she has to do is change the conversation. Because, look, Phil Murphy wants to do a lot of things for a lot of people. He's going to have to figure out where those dollars are coming from. She wants to talk about taxes, 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 that's fine, but that's not going to get it done. People want a change. That's just the way things are. I think she catches fire with this Harvey Weinstein thing, which I don't think is there, or with the NFL anthem thing, and Murphy makes some sort of mistake and says the wrong thing that goes against public opinion. It's got to be an emotional, visceral, deeply rooted issue, and I don't see it yet in this race. Based on New Jersey issues, he has a big edge.
Do appreciate that. That's Steve Adubato. He's got a special tonight on NJTV. Interviews with both candidates, extensive. And obviously, if you had a chance to see that debate last night, I don't think Guadagno scored any points. She seemed tepid at times. She seemed a bit rattled and seemed to be trying too hard. But that's just an opinion from a guy here on the New York side of the Hudson River.
The Drive at 5. On the air, on the app. Curtis Sliwa, live.
My boy Curtis Sliwa.
Local.
There's a guy in a red hat.
On it.
Everybody listens to Curtis.
77 WABC.
As we continue on the Drive Home at 5, I hate this pedophile on a pedestal, Michael Jackson, but it's the perfect intro song to what occurred last night in the first mayoral debate involving Mayor de Blasio, Nicole Malliotakis, and Big Bad Bo Dietl. Because, oh, at times, he was bad. But then again, he started off the debate with the opening remarks, and he won the crowd over because he stuck it right to Comrade Bill de Blasio.
Good evening, everyone. First of all, I got to say, go Yankees! I know one thing. Mayor de Blasio is a Boston Red Sox fan. He's not a Yankee fan.
Oh, no doubt about that. And obviously, he had the crowd. But later on, he was to lose that crowd. But in the interim, there was Nicole Malliotakis, as I told you, not ready for prime time. She is the Republican conservative candidate for mayor, the assemblywoman from Staten Island in Brooklyn, who just got $1.5 million in matching funds as part of the campaign finance board agreement with the candidates. You raise money, they'll match it, give you $6 for every $1 you raise, according to how much the donations are. And the moment she raised that money, all the consultants went banging on her door to represent her and prepare her for this debate. So who wins out? Hank Shinecoff, Mr. Democrat, liberal, progressive, who clearly made a mistake of filling her head up with so much information and facts that she started stumbling and mumbling to start the debate. But then she recovered. She found her stride, and she started sticking it to de Blasio, but then all of a sudden, de Blasio turned on her and called her Trump, and she took umbrage to that. Then a reporter, well-renowned, the New York One, Grace Rao, also questioned her about the fact that she supported Donald Trump in the general election and some of his issues.
We're going to start with Ms. Malliotakis, a follow-up about Donald Trump. You voted for him last year, but you can't seem to make up your mind about him. For a while, it looked like you were trying to run away from the president. You told me at one point that you couldn't think of a single thing that he was doing well, and then you were suddenly embracing him, offering support when he demanded that NFL players who kneeled during the national anthem be fired. So my question is, are you trying to have it always when it comes to President Trump?
I gotta be honest with you, Grace. I feel that you're carrying the mayor's water right now, and I know
Too late. Too late. Major, major mistake. Grace Rao actually has been on the mayor's jockstrap. She actually took him to court when he had these outside advisors, agents of the city, and wouldn't reveal their communications. She's the one who took him to court. Big, big mistake. Not ready for prime time. Nicole Malliotakis. But as she goes back to school to prepare for the second debate, here was Bo Dietl shouting, huffing and puffing, screaming, hollering, and then shooting himself in his own foot by bringing up the mayor's wife. Oh, this was not good.
All I said was the judge was very familiar looking as the mayor's wife with two beautiful eyes and a smile, and they looked very similar. I never used the word African-American, so how dare you use that, and how dare you even imply that? My point, okay, take it easy there, de Blasio.
I'm going to give some free advice to both Nicole Malliotakis and Bo Dietl, who actually lost that debate last night to Comrade Bill de Blasio. As painful as it is for me to say that, they really did lose because they couldn't shake him. What they have to do, and they don't seem to understand this because they travel in an insular circle where people know them. Most people in the city don't even know who they are. They could not identify who Nicole Malliotakis is or Bo Dietl. This is an opportunity on the stage to let everyone know who they are and what they would do as mayor. Now, they were on the attack all last night against Comrade Bill de Blasio, and it was like he had Teflon. They didn't score any points. What they must do in this second upcoming debate on Channel 2 is tell the story of their lives, who they are, what roots they came from. And then on every one of the issues, whether it's the homelessness or the mentally ill or dealing with quality of life issues or closing Rikers Island, don't immediately attack the mayor. Talk about what you would do if you were mayor. Come up with a concise plan. People are going to be listening. They want to know if they replace this part-time mayor, this dope from Park Slope, with a new candidate to become mayor. What are they going to do? And if you can't convince the people of who you are, Nicole Malliotakis and Bo Dietl, what you stand for and what you would do as mayor, you are going to get slaughtered on November 7th by a tsunami of people voting for Mayor Bill de Blasio. Not many, because it's going to be a very low turnout, but you'll only have yourselves to blame.